Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls, because we have with us a good friend. His name is William Still. He's written one of my favorite books. It's called The New World Order, The Ancient Plan of Secret Societies. Bill, are you there?
I am here.
Thank you so very much. And this really was one of the great books. It came, how long ago did you write that?
It was written throughout the 80s, and it came out in 90.
All right, fine. And so why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about your background and how it was that you happened to write this book, because it gives tremendous insight into the spiritual forces behind the scenes, which, of course, are being totally ignored by most of the politicians and certainly by most of our ministers.
Well, this all started back in 1973. When I was a young fledgling reporter, and my dad was a recent retired military officer. This was at the height of Watergate. My father just happened to tell me, after he saw how things were transpiring, namely the Saturday Night Massacre and how Nixon was going against the Supreme Court and all this, he said, you know, I've just got to tell you something. About 2 weeks ago, I was asked by someone claiming to be affiliated with the Nixon White House how I and my friends in the military intelligence community would feel about a military takeover of the U.S. government, the purpose of which would be to install President Nixon in office for a third term and possibly subsequent terms. I immediately freaked out and got on my horse, and we started to ride throughout the media streets of Washington trying to get somebody to listen to us, that, hey, you know, there's something more behind this whole Watergate thing than, you know, just a third-rate burglary by a bunch of Cubans. You know, there's something a whole lot bigger. My dad was told that there was virtually unlimited money behind the effort, so anyone who wished to participate could name his price. Over the years, little bits and pieces of this have come out. Finally, Carl Rowan broke the story on October 26th of 73 in the old Washington Star when he put it this way, quote, "Those who wonder about the president's emotional balance have now begun to suspect that even in the face of a vote to impeach, he might try as commander-in-chief to use the military forces to keep himself in power." And although that was just one little one-sentence blurb, that unleashed a whole Pandora's box that formed an even deeper opposition to Richard Nixon and his presidency than anything Woodward or Bernstein could possibly have brought up.
But, of course, this is not commonly known. In fact, this wasn't the first time there'd ever been an attempted coup in America. Major General Smedley Butler was the famous Marine Corps general, was, you know, urged to lead a coup back in the 1930s, 1933, 1934. But the American people don't know the history of our country, do they?
No, it's sad. Neither the political or the financial history, equally important.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to, of course, have to take a break here, and we'll be back in just a moment with our special guest today, William Still. And, of course, if you haven't read his book, The New World Order, The Ancient Plan of Secret Societies, it's must reading for anybody who wants to understand what is really going on in America, and not only the political and geopolitical, but the spiritual forces working behind the scenes. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and today our very, very special guest is Mr. William Still, and of course, many years ago, he's a reporter. He's what are you doing right now at the present time in the way of work, Bill? Bill? What are you doing now? I know, of course, you've written, you've produced a movie, at least a video, but what are you doing now?
Basically, are we on the air?
Yes, we're on the air. you didn't get a chance to get off there. That is not a very long break.
I'm still doing some writing, working, and I'm actually running for political office here in Northern Virginia.
Well, I just hope and praise that that you're able to do that. What are you running for?
Local board of supervisors in my county.
Well, I tell you what, it's very important that we have responsible people in local government, because of course I can begin to see there's going to be some real problems with the national government. And of course, if you read the plan laid out by Marie Strong, he tells you that, you know, the real power eventually is going to shift from the national to the local government. Of course, they intend to control that pretty well through their international movement, but that's why we need good people at local government. Well, our guest is Mr. William Still, and his book, of course, is The New World Order, The Ancient Plan of Secret Societies. And, of course, to the average individual, the idea that there are secret societies, or that there has been an ancient plan going back really for thousands of years to create a world government, seems so foreign to the average individual. Do you run into that, Bill, when you try to talk to them about this plan, which you and I both know exists?
Yeah, it's pretty tough. To the uninitiated, they rarely see how right and left meet. It's a revelation to them that, you know, the far right and the far left meet at a certain point, and basically that point is a point that tries to eliminate nationalism in favor of internationalism, tries to consolidate power to the maximum extent rather than trying to disperse power to the maximum practical extent, which is, of course, what I'm all about.
All right, fine. And, of course, I agree with you as well. The liberty and limited government is synonymous. Tyranny and total government is synonymous, and any government that can provide whatever we need must be able to take whatever we have, because government has nothing other than what it takes from us, but by force, redistributes to gain support from the masses, and then, of course, with that comes control over every aspect of human endeavor, over every aspect of our lives. And so we'll be back here in just a moment to continue this discussion with William Still. Well, our guest today is William Still, and we're talking about his book, The New World Order, The Ancient Plan of Secret Societies. And earlier, Bill had talked about how he had first become aware of the fact that there were problems because his father had told him about an attempted coup during the Nixon administration. President Nixon and some of his supporters were wondering if they could get the support of the military for a coup d'etat to keep him in power. It was very obvious that the establishment was going to get him out of power. It was very obvious, of course, that, in my opinion, that Watergate was a setup. Not that Richard Nixon was a good guy. He really wasn't. He was a corrupt politician. But certainly the Watergate was a very minor issue. It was being used, of course, to put Nelson Rockefeller into the presidency, in my estimation. And, of course, he did get as far as vice president when Richard Nixon appointed Gerald Ford to replace Spiro Agnew, who had actually been railroaded out of office to get Nelson Rockefeller into position. And when, of course, Richard Nixon refused to appoint Nelson Rockefeller, he signed his own doom. Well, anyway, of course, then where did you go from there? You knew that there had been a conspiracy, or at least talk of a conspiracy, for a military coup. This would be back, what, about 1972 or 73?
This was 73, and of course, then there followed a very dangerous time for me as we tried to get this word out and popularly known. And, of course, the general media in Washington at that point was the Washington Post. And we did contact Woodward and Bernstein and actually went to meet with them. But they really didn't want to talk to us. They sent down their editor, a guy by the name of Bob Fink, who's credited in the front of all the president's men. But, you know, they had it all figured out. They had book deals going, movie deals going, and they didn't want any part of a broader conspiracy than just, you know, right-wing politician done bad, and so us good Democrats are going to try to fix it. That was their storyline, and they played it to the hilt.
And, of course, Bob Woodward has always had access to special CIA information. They feed him information. They let him write a lot of books. They give him access to certainly classified and secret information nobody else can get. And in return, of course, he does their bidding for them and puts out the information that the Central Intelligence Agency and the establishment wants circulated. Fascinating books, but you have to understand, why is it only one author is allowed to have all this information? And, of course, he is one of the finest authors that money can buy. So why don't you pick up from there?
Well, shortly thereafter, after Nixon resigned, then it kind of fell on me to look into this a little more deeply, because obviously there was more going on than was even on the surface to my view. I sensed it, and it just led me into this study of who is pulling the strings. Obviously, Nixon was not pulling the strings. Someone else ousted him. For what reason? I had to find out, and what was the basic thing behind it. And basically, the conclusion is that there has been an ancient plan running throughout history, going back hundreds if not thousands of years. It's sold to the public as a way to end wars. I call it the Star Trek phenomenon. What is the basis of Star Trek? The basis of Star Trek is that eventually all national governments will be eliminated and will form one huge world government, and only then will we be strong enough, once we've eliminated this nasty old concept of warfare, to go out and explore the stars. Of course, that's very popular. It's going to grow increasingly popular as years go by. Hopefully, we've dealt the United Nations a serious blow here with this run up to Iraq. But undoubtedly, they will be back at some point, ever trying to kill the concept of nationalism. But I don't think they will ever succeed. Interestingly enough, the Bible mentions that even in the end times there are nation states, and so I don't believe they're going to succeed, and it only makes common sense that they won't succeed, because if they were to succeed, then Satan would absolutely have his way here on earth. And I think as long as the Holy Spirit is present here guiding us believers as we stumble through this life, somehow doing the right thing and finding a way to successfully oppose these guys, we're always going to be able to hold off the evil day until the very end.
But, of course, these people basically want a one-world government. This has always been their purpose, and, of course, for many years it's been planned. It would be through the United Nations. But how would you get people to do that? Well, the only way you'd get people to give up their nationalism and sovereignty would be with wars. And then when the wars are horrible enough, people say, gee, we don't want any more of this. Let's give up our sovereignty and have this one big, happy, one-world government. That's what they did with the First World War. They killed 21 million people, another 40 million wounded, and Europe was ready to make any sacrifice so there wouldn't be another war. But when the United States didn't come into the League of Nations, then we had to have a Second World War. And even then, people were not ready for world government, at least not in the United States. So I fear there may well be a third world war. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, this is very interesting, because this whole anti-nationalism concept seems to be rooted in the depths of what we call blood oath secret societies. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean the Masons, the Shriners, the Knights Templars, the Oddfellows, the Illuminati, the Order of the Palladium, the Golden Dawn, the Jacobins, all these different groups down throughout history, all have been, at their core, their basic drive has been anti-nationalism, pro-world government. Why? Because what makes America free? It's this basic concept of trying to share power to the maximum extent that our founding fathers so cleverly set up. And that power is protected by something called the separation of powers concept, where it's set up that there are competing groups of power, always competing with each other, and so one can never get the upper hand exactly. It's worked brilliantly throughout history. Well, what is the separation of powers concept on the international level? It is nothing less than the individual ability of nation states to go to war with each other. So I'm not a proponent of war, don't get me wrong. A war is a terrible thing. I wish we could eliminate it completely off the face of the earth. But until you have a leader who is absolutely perfect, namely the return of Jesus Christ himself, then anybody who eventually ascended to the head of this world government would undoubtedly, inevitably become corrupt, become tyrannical, and nothing could proceed but an ironclad world dictatorship, just as we see in Revelation and the prophets. So that's my take on the world government situation. And but in the secret societies, there was a very interesting letter written in 1871 by the head of European Masonry. He wrote to the head of American Masonry, a Confederate Civil War general by the name of Albert Pike. In this letter, the head of European Masonry proposed a plan to create a series of three world wars, the ultimate purpose of which would be to make humanity so sick of war that they would eventually give up their cherished dreams of national sovereignty. And national sovereignty is so basic to the human psyche. You don't have to teach it. You don't have to talk about it. People just don't trust international government. They love their nations. They love their countries, and that's a very good thing. I'm for French nationalism, for American nationalism. It is the cornerstone of world freedom.
You mean you're not going to start calling it freedom fries instead of French fries? Or
oh, no, I'm mad at the French. I'll call them freedom fries all day and all night, but I just use that as an outstanding example that even though I don't like the French, I still believe in French nationalism.
All right, fine.
So anyway, this letter, now remember, this was written half a century before World War I. It was displayed in the British Museum for a number of years, so we know it existed. The letter said, first, we'll need a First World War designed to topple the Tsar in Russia to create a dictatorship where we can experiment in the control of populations. Remember, this was written 50 years before the creation of the Soviet Union, but that's exactly what happened. Then the letter went on and said, then we'll need a Second World War, which will allow this new Soviet Union to conquer Europe. Well, they only got half of Europe, thank God, thanks to General Patton. Then the letter went on and said, then we'll need a final Third World War, which will be in the Middle East, involving the Muslims, and will be so bloody that mankind will finally give in to this New World Order concept. Now, I heard Sean Hannity discussing today with William Bennett. They were saying, why is it that you can get all these anti-war demonstrations, millions of them around the world, to demonstrate in favor of Saddam Hussein? What is it, what poison is it that can so fire these people up so much to hate America? And it has nothing to do with politics. This is a spiritual battle. The reason these people are so fired up is that never before in our history have we had such a Christian president pursuing Christian goals as we do today in the United States of America. And that is, I believe, the absolute core of the opposition to President Bush's plan to go in and wipe Saddam Hussein off the face of the earth.
How about the plan then to take out North Korea and Iran and Saudi Arabia and all the other governments over there, because that's all part of the plan.
Part of whose plan?
Part of the Project for the New American Century. William Bennett is part of this little group that back in 1997 actually set out a plan to take out Saddam Hussein and have American troops stationed throughout the world. Go to their website. It's www.newamericancentury.org. Read their material, www.newamericancentury.org. You might be fascinated by who is in this little group. Men like William Bennett, who you were just talking about, Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney. This is their website, not mine. Paul Wolfowitz, Frank Gaffney, John Bolton, the ambassador to Afghanistan, Richard Pearl.
That doesn't mean all of these folks are basically involved in a knowledgeable conspiracy to destroy the world.
No, but
they bought into the Star Trek concept, and they're wrong.
I really believe they are. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment or two with our special guest, William Zell. And, of course, we're going to have to take a four-minute break here. And then when we get to Bill, you can get a cup of coffee if you'd like to and a drink of water. And then, of course, we're going to welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Because we're talking about Bill's excellent, excellent book, which I think is really one of the founding seminal books that we have, The New World Order, The Ancient Plan of Secret Societies. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, there is an ancient plan. It is being enacted now. There are secret organizations. They exist at the highest levels of our government today. four-tape set, Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America. The fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
This is radio health journalist Bill Sardi. Hey, a lot of smart supplement users like to check out the facts before they purchase an herbal product. So go to www.lifespannnutrition.com and read all about Alamax, the new odorless, 100% pure allicin garlic extract imported from Great Britain. You'll find Alamax is equivalent to 15 cloves of fresh, crushed garlic. Check it out at www.lifespannnutrition.com or call 866-405-4000 to learn more about this breakthrough in garlic technology called Alamax. Call 1-866-405-4000 today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and I simply want to mention that I think this is an excellent time to make sure that in case there should be a breakdown in our society, you'd be able to have good, clean drinking water. And so the Big Berkey is the ultimate water filter. It's the most economical water filter you can buy. Its ceramic filters can be recleaned up to 100 times. It's convenient. Sets up in minutes without any need for plumbing tools or electricity. It's powerful. The Big Berkey removes pathogens such as E. coli, cholera, and cryptosporidium, and it reduces chlorine, herbicides, pesticides, foul tastes, and odors. The Big Berkey is so powerful it can easily filter raw, untreated water from lakes and rivers. It's elegant, high-polished stainless steel. It's flexible. Ordinarily, they're $279, and Radio Liberty offers them for $239, and of course, you'll get, along with that, you'll get one of our videos, either one video that I produced or one of our four tape sets, and we have some we suggest for you. Call us at 1-800-544-8927 and ask about the Big Berkey water filter. Now, it's not yet available in California or Iowa, but we do have one that is available in 49 states. The only state it's not available in is Iowa, and that's called the Berkey Light. And, of course, instead of being stainless steel, it's transparent, so you can actually see inside. Instead of having the ceramic filters, it has what's known as the black Berkey filters that are really much more effective. The only reason that that some people might prefer the ceramic filters is they can be cleaned over and over again and boiled, and they'll last for an awful long time, whereas the black Berkey filters will only last for about 2 years, but they'll filter together about 4,000 gallons of water. Now, the Berkey Light, and it's called, you can either get it with a light source at the bottom for $269, or you can get it without the light source at for $199, and of course there's $10 shipping, but we also offer you one of our videos or tapes. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, but it's important that you have a good source of water at the present time. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our special guest is William Still. We're talking about his book, The New World Order, The Ancient Plan of Secret Societies. And let me simply suggest that Bill has done a lot of research into these secret organizations. And yes, the Masons are here. There have been many, many organizations, the Rosicrucians, the Theosophists, certainly the Templars, and during another era, but they all tie together, and they are all part of the mystery religions. And the Masons are simply the modern-day manifestation of the mystery religions. And until you understand their secret, you can't understand anything going on. So how did you happen to get into the secret societies and the mystery religions that have been so effective in controlling any knowledge of their existence from the American people?
Well, interestingly enough, Freemasonry is all throughout my mother's side of the family. And so when I turned 21, it fell to me to go and see the Grand High Inquisitor, whatever he was called, of our local region. He was going to be my personal teacher to teach me all the stuff. And so he gave me the Masonic application, and all I needed to do was fill it out and give him $100, and I was in.
Well, he would have been the worshipful master, that's what they call him.
Yeah, well, he was also the teacher, the head teacher.
All right.
He was going to be my personal guide. Anyway, but, you know, I asked him, I said, because I was kind of neither of my parents were Christians, and so I was kind of trying to stumble my way towards Christendom, basically. And I said, you know, I'd heard that you had to swear to kill somebody to get in this outfit, you know, and he said, no, that's just old superstition, and you know, we don't do anything like that. And I could tell he was lying to me; just my intuition told me. And you know, I said right there on the first meeting, I said, you know, I don't think Christ would like that. And boy, you would have thought that I had dropped a smoke grenade in his office. So anyway, I went home, and you know, he told me to fill out the application, send $100 in. And I started asking around to other Masons who I knew, because, you know, my mom was in it. It was in Eastern Star. And, you know, they would basically do the same thing, tell some version of the same lie, you know. But I could tell they were lying because I knew these guys. And so I started investigating around. And then I saw on the back of a Popular Science magazine an old guy from Florida, Minister Jim something or another. He was sent away for his materials. He was a 33rd degree Mason, and he had come out and decided he was going to tell all. And that was, you know, when I started opening my eyes. And I just, later when the Nixon thing happened, you know, I started thinking, you know, I wonder if these Mason guys are tied into it. And I started checking into it. And eventually the whole thing opened up. And then proofs of a conspiracy came my way. And Nesta Webster's materials, the great British historian of the 1920s, and, you know, it just all opened up like a big clamshell, and I saw the links.
Well, you know, it's so interesting that how effective they are in controlling the mention of this in the Christian church, and the reason they are is because the Masons infiltrated the Christian church and the Christian seminaries many years ago so that the Christians would not understand what this was all about. And if your church puts on a talk on cults, oh, they like to talk about the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons, and the New Age, but they'll never mention the largest and most dangerous cult in America. To me, the Mormons, I disagree with them. The Jehovah's Witnesses, I disagree with them. But they don't go around ordinarily killing people. And they certainly are not in a position to have taken God and prayer out of our schools. But that's what the Masons did, because they controlled the United States Supreme Court for 30 years. And the fact that nobody will tell the American people that simply reveals how effective the control is over what the American people think. They're the ones who took God and prayer and all of this out of our schools and set the precedent for the moral decline, which today threatens the very soul of America.
Yes, that's absolutely true. And this is not just some conspiracy theory, which, of course, at your local church, you'll be told if you mention anything against Freemasonry, they immediately look at, oh, this is that one of those wild conspiracy theories. It's not. Our own pastor, when we went to a small Baptist church in Paris, Virginia, told us when he found out, you know, that I'd written this book, came up and told us that, you know, I was a Freemason at one point. I had this big church down in Harrisonburg, Virginia, and then I just became convicted by the Holy Spirit that it was bad. And I came out and I started preaching against it from the pulpit. He immediately lost his church and was put down in the smallest church they could find, and that's where he was doomed to spend the rest of his life. So it is true. It does happen.
Oh, we have a book actually that goes into Charles Finney's work, and in that there are testimonials from four ministers who dared to speak out against Freemasonry, and the book is just Charles Finney on Masonry, if you want to get it from us. And all four of them had their lives ruined, and one of them that they tried to kill by cutting the brake linings and things of that sort, and loosening the lugs. I've forgotten the story, but this is the sort of thing goes on, ladies and gentlemen, and the fact you're not hearing about it shows how effective they are in controlling what the American people think.
book that will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, En Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today, and unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just mention a couple of the other items we carry here at Radio Liberty to help subsidize our programs. One of them is the Miracle 2 soap products, and of course they certainly work very effectively. I can tell you I've used them for a couple of years now. I'm sold on them, and so many of the people have used them. We get calls all the time from people across the country who've used them. We can't make any claims about Miracle 2 soap products, but certainly many of the people who use them do make claims, and there's a soap and a moisturizing soap, a neutralizer, which is just a very alkaline solution, which a lot of people take for heartburn, and seems to help them. And then, of course, there's a gel and there's a lotion. And if you'd like to get an introductory set of the various products, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Ask for the Miracle 2 soap products, and I think that you'll be very, very pleased with them. It's amazing how many people we have get the products over and over again. I show them to their friends, and their friends become customers. That's Miracle 2 soap products. And then, of course, we carry Phenopoly. It's a program that's designed to teach your children and your grandchildren how to read phonetically, because that's the secret to being able to spell words, to be able to pronounce words, and they have to learn how to take a word apart. And there are really only 12 rules to the English language as far as the spelling and pronunciation. There's only 40 different sounds, and of course, once you know the secret, why are you going to read as well as a college professor? In fact, some of them don't read very well, as a matter of fact. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and ask about Phenopoly. It's 5 board games, 2 bonus games, and then, of course, we throw in a couple of books. And we've had some wonderful results, not only with children, but young adults and even older adults, who it's really changed their whole way of life. It's given them that wonderful gift of being able to read and being able to read phonetically. Phenopoly. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and of course our guest today is Mr. William Steele. His book, The New World Order, The Ancient Plan of Secret Societies, and it's available from Radio Liberty. We carry it because we think it's one of the most important books in our, certainly in our stock that we make available to the public. And it's easy to read. There's a tremendous amount of information in it. And you must understand that the people will not talk about it. The conservative movements across America, many of the leading conservative organizations that supposedly are out there protecting America's freedom, they'll talk about all sorts of conspiracies, but they'll never talk about the spiritual conspiracy. And I'll never forget meeting the chairman of the board of one of the largest conservative patriotic organizations in America, heard me speak and said, I'm going to go back and turn this organization around and get them to address what this is really all about. It's not political, not ideological. It's this spiritual force working behind the scenes. And I said, if you do, you'll be out of there within a month. And he didn't heed my words, and he went to a meeting shortly thereafter after he had tried to get the organization to take a strong stand up against this spiritual battle and against these secret societies that are out there. And, of course, he was removed from his position as chairman of the board of one of the most powerful and influential conservative organizations in America. So this is what really happens. And the fact that you wonder why everybody doesn't know it is very simple. They've infiltrated every aspect of our lives today. And, of course, they're moving us, and they want to move us towards a new world order and a new world religion. Well, Bill, how did you, as you begin getting into Masonry, what's the tie-in between Masonry and these ancient secret societies?
Well, before I get into that, I'll name names.
I just assume you didn't attack any conservative organizations, even though we both know which organizations we're talking about.
Okay, Stan. in any case, let's talk about, you mentioned removing Christian values from the public school system, how Masons brag that they are responsible for removing Christian values from the public school system and from public life in general. In the mid-1950s, only one of the nine justices of the U.S. Supreme Court was not a Mason, Felix Frankfurter. Some of the Masonic justices were Earl Warren, Hugo Black, William O. Douglas. In 1959, the lead journal of the Masonic Order, named New Age, published an article stating that Freemasonry had, quote, provided the major obstacle, close quote, to the growth of religious-oriented education in America. That comes from New Age, January 1959, page 10. Again, from their own journal, New Age, they stated in the February 1968 edition on page 17 that, quote, Masonically endorsed higher criticism of the Bible had made obsolete the idea that the Bible is a unique revelation of supernatural truth, close quote. If you run across a Mason and you give him just these two quotes and nothing else, his jaw will drop and he'll be sent running for back copies of New Age. It's because they just don't understand what they've gotten themselves into.
Well, I think, I never knew a Mason that I didn't like. Most of them are very, very nice people, but they worship a different God, and of course they are being used as a front for the people who really do know what it's about, who are part of the inner core, because Masonry is a fraternity within a fraternity, and the outer core has no idea what the inner core is really up to.
Well, that's exactly true. It's the old peeling back the onion concept. And, you know, my grandfather was a Mason, but that doesn't mean he was a bad guy. They don't know that they're worshiping Lucifer. They basically think that they're worshiping God. They basically think they're based on the Bible. But the symbolism of Masonry, and symbolism is very important in Freemasonry, is the open Bible with the Masonic square and compass sitting atop the open Bible. What's the symbolic meaning of that? We are biblically based, but we are an improvement on the Bible. That's exactly what they think themselves to be, superior to the Bible. But here's a practical example of where Freemasonry goes wrong and is totally destructive to the American way of life. The Royal Arch degrees of Masonry are definitely destructive to the way we believe local government should be run here in this country. In the 33-step Scottish Rite system, the Royal Arch degree is the 13th degree. In the 13-step York system, it is the 7th degree. This is the level to which Masons try to get all judges, county sheriffs, district attorneys, cops, anybody involved with the judicial system to ascend to. Why? Because at this level, Masons must swear under these horrible blood oaths, you know, cut out the tongue, cut the heart out while it's beating, all that junk, that they will help extricate a brother Mason from any legal trouble, including murder and treason. They are obligated by these horrible blood oaths, these judges who are Masons, to help get any brother Mason off, no matter what. Now, not all of them take it 100% seriously, but enough of them do to give these guys a pass.
And, of course, that, in my estimation, is why Trent Lott, a 33rd-degree Mason, would not even allow the Senate to consider seriously the impeachment of Bill Clinton, the highest-ranking demole in America, and nobody ever talks about that. Everybody says, oh, Trent Lott was just afraid, you know, of disrupting the government, or no, Trent Lott was a 33rd-degree Mason. He could not, under any circumstance, allow the impeachment of, or at least the conviction of Bill Clinton. But you see, the American people have never been told that.
Well, to go back to my story about my Southern Baptist minister, he told us that 90% of the Southern Baptist hierarchy in this country, and this was about 15 years ago, but I assume it's still the same, was made up of Freemasons, and that it was well known amongst ascending Southern Baptist preachers that if you wanted to succeed in the Southern Baptist ministry, that you had to become a Mason. I also understand that the same is true for both the Methodists and the Lutherans. So they have infiltrated the mainline denominations, which is probably why most younger guys my age just have no use for them. They feel it spiritually, in their spirit. They feel the guiding of the Holy Spirit that this is not the place for them. So they go to some of the newer things that may not be so infiltrated.
All right, well, let's go to Richard. Richard, do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I have a comment. I mean, I think the whole New World Order concept began in the Tower of Babel.
I think so, too.
And this is so interesting, this whole story. It says, we all had one language, and it says, God gave us different languages because nothing that we can imagine will be impossible for us to achieve. In other words, in this fallen condition, if we would all get together and power would be centralized, we could accomplish things in this fallen condition which would not be good for us. And that you can see that God gave us different languages, and the language, the divisiveness of the language is what creates nations.
Absolutely.
Yeah, if I could interrupt you, I've never considered that exactly that way, but you are so right on. That is exactly right. I've always known that the Tower of Babel had something to do with it, but I've never heard anybody put it exactly that way. That's exactly right.
No, I think that Richard is right on that. And certainly that was, of course, one of the first attempts to create a world government. We'd had one maybe 100 years before that at the time of Noah. And they had this wonderful society, and, you know, it's supposed that it was a wonderful society and fairly advanced society. But there were Nephilim there. The women were having affairs with the demonic spirits, and of course God destroyed the world at that time and saved only a few people. And 150 years later, of course, you got Nimrod building the tower, believing that, of course, that they can get by without God. And that's the story of civilization: man trying to get by without God, or thinking he can be God. And that's why we're in so much trouble today. But all these secret societies really would place the God of the heavens with, of course, their God, who is themselves.
Yeah, but it's important to understand. My book, if anything, it never gives a hopeless message. And that is, as long as the power of the Holy Spirit is present here, we're always going to be able to find a way to successfully oppose these guys, as long as we keep it in the spiritual context. That's why I like the way Richard came at the topic, because if you come at it any other way, if you come at it from the conspiracy angle, you're always going to mess up. You've got to come at it from the spiritual angle, or else you're never going to figure out what they're doing and how to successfully oppose them. Because somehow we've been able to successfully oppose them. We are still the freest country in the world. We are still the biggest thorn in the side of the New World Order people that has ever existed in the history of the world. And yet, we have relatively no money to oppose them. They've got all the political connections, all the money. They've got these blood oath secret societies working for them for hundreds of years, and still the United Nations is a total failure.
Well, now, tell us a little bit about the Council on Foreign Relations, because, of course, we find so many people in the current administration coming from the Council on Foreign Relations, but we also found them in the Clinton administration, the first Bush administration, even the Reagan administration was loaded with people from the Council on Foreign Relations. Only back then, they never used to talk about it. It was just sort of one of those things you never mentioned. Now, of course, they say, oh, yes, of course, everybody knows about the Council on Foreign Relations. Well, of course, they suppressed knowledge about it until just recently, because people like you and I and others were trying to expose what was going on. And so rather than try to continue to keep it secret like they do with the Bilderbergers, why they got the information out. But what is the Council on Foreign Relations, and what is its relationship to this whole incredible movement towards the New World Order?
It's just another one of their spurious, dim-witted attempts to put across this concept that we have to eliminate that nasty old concept of warfare so we can save our money and all go and build all these bridges and roads and everything and blah, blah, blah. And the only way we can eliminate this nasty concept of warfare is to eliminate that dirty old outmoded concept of nationalism. And that's the essence of the Council on Foreign Relations. It was started in the late 1800s by multimillionaire diamond tycoon Cecil Rhodes and some of his wealthy British friends. They decided to create a secret society loosely based around the legends of King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table, but really based on Masonic principles. That was called the Round Table Groups that later morphed into the Council on Foreign Relations when it came over here. The goal of the group was to create a world which would be governed secretly by a ruling class with a powerful army to keep it in power and a society completely subordinate to the monolithic authority of its rulers. Well, in 1959, the CFR prepared a position paper entitled Study Number 7, Basic Aims of U.S. Foreign Policy, in which the United States is urged to, quote, build a new international order, close quote, and to, quote, maintain and gradually increase the authority of the United Nations, close quote. So they aren't doing so well. All their great plans are still going astray. Why? There's only one reason why they're not totally succeeding right now, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in each one of us. And unless we focus on that as being our prime weapon, we're never going to be able to effectively oppose them.
All right, fine. We've got George calling from Toronto. Hi, George. How are you doing?
Yes, good evening.
How are things up there? Is that pretty cold?
Well, we're still a little bit cold.
Okay.
In a traditional Canadian winter. Quick question. Mr. Still?
Yeah.
You are the Bill Still that directed the Money Masters?
That's right.
And why don't you tell people how they can get the Money Masters, Bill?
Well, they can go on themoneymasters.com. You can order it straight off of there. It's the, T-H-E, all one word, moneymasters.com.
Moneymasters. It's an excellent video set. Go ahead.
It certainly is. And my wife and I were sitting here listening, but we could see that pen pointing at us all the time.
Yes.
Anyways, a quick question. Can you please tell me, do you have any further information on special drawing rights? And I'll take my call off the air. Thank you.
No, I'm sorry. The economic world is big and diverse, and I just couldn't learn it all and haven't kept up with it. So I'm sorry. I'm just not up to speed on SDRs.
Thank you.
All right, fine. Thank you. Well, basically, SDRs is simply another means of creating money out of nothing. They said, well, we need more money, and so what we'll do is make special drawing rights, and it'll be just like money, as good as gold, because, well, we say it's as good as gold, and so they just expanded massively the liquidity of if you and I did it, we'd call it counterfeiting. When they do it, they call it statesmanship.
Well, but see, it's not so much a problem of debt or a debt-based money system. I've really matured in the way I look at that stuff, and now, it only boils down to one thing, and that's who controls the volume of money for their own political purposes. That's what the whole money system all boils down to. It's not to whether we're creating a debt-based money, we should return to a gold-based money, which, of course, I contend would be a terrible idea, and I think you and I still disagree on that a little bit. But it's who controls it for their own political purposes, and we saw this right at the height of Clinton's impeachment. The Federal Reserve lowered interest rates no less than 7 different times in a one-month period. There were slightly different ways, but that the stock market was starting to tank from the uncertainty, and it was only this unprecedented series of interest rate lowerings that finally turned the market around and saved Clinton's skin.
All right, fine. Well, of course, so our guest today is Bill Still. His book, The New World Order, The Ancient Plan of Secret Societies, that's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And we think it's an excellent, excellent book. And, of course, you talk in that book some of the things you learned from reading the writings of a man named Manly P. Hall. Who is Manly P. Hall, and why is he so important?
Well, Manly P. Hall was a Mason, probably a Rosicrucian, from the old Theosophical line. He was a great student of Masonic symbolism. I suppose during every generation there is kind of one guy that the Masons anoint to be the keeper of the more occult secrets that they hold, and Manly P. Hall was definitely that guy. And so he really knew the occult essence behind Freemasonry. He wrote many books. I don't even know how many. I must have a dozen of them myself. And each one of them is just filled with interesting little tidbits. He's coming from the other side, of course, but it's very interesting what he's willing to reveal.
And, of course, reading Manly P. Hall, his Secret Destiny of America, America's Secret Destiny, two separate books, he explains to that they have always wanted to use America to bring about this reconstitution of lost Atlantis. They've always wanted America to lead the world into the New World Order, and they've been working at that for a long time.
Well, and that's why in early America, the Masons put forward the American symbol as being not the eagle, but the phoenix. And if you go to the old Senate meeting chamber inside the Capitol today, you'll see the bird that, you know, people, even the guides will say this is the eagle. It has an unusually long and skinny neck. It is the phoenix bird, because to the Masons, basically America was supposed to be the reconstitution of Atlantis, and if they could only, and what was Atlantis? Atlantis was a world government, and the Masons hold it up as being this wonderful thing that even by their own legend, Atlantis became corrupt. Why? Because absolute power tends to corrupt absolutely. It's the immutable law of world politics. So Atlantis became corrupt, and by their own legend, God destroyed it. Now, I don't believe in Atlantis, but they believe. I'm just telling you what they believe. And they wish to recreate this here in this country, that America will be the new Atlantis. It will lead a new world, new world order, and then everything will be hunky-dory once we've got everything under control. And certainly it might be good for America at first, you know, as we reach a world hegemony, but ultimately America's leaders will become corrupted by this power. And that's
we're out of time, Bill. God bless you. Thanks so much for being with us.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and a few people have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just mentioned a couple of other things that we have here that we hope many of you have made preparations. We don't know what's going to happen. You know, most Americans today, about half of them support the war, but if you pointed out to them that there might be a total disruption of our society, increased terrorist attacks, an economic collapse in America, even a breakdown of the ability of trucks to deliver things to our stores because the soaring price of diesel and gasoline, how many people would actually support the idea we want to go halfway around the world to take out Saddam Hussein? And if there are so many of you question who's kept him in power, you want to get my March newsletter, because we point out that the people in Iraq think the American government's kept Saddam Hussein in power, and there's an awful lot of evidence to suggest that's true. Well, that's all covered in my March newsletter. We'll be glad to get you a copy by if you call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. But certainly, one of the things we offer you is a free catalog, if you'd like it, of the Ready Reserve food products. And they're not only the food products, but all the other things you would need if there were a major catastrophic or events here in the United States. And so you're going to have to begin thinking about making preparations for yourself. And for your family, you certainly cannot depend upon the government or upon anybody else. So if you'd like to know more about the items that are readily available, Ready Reserve Foods has been around for 30 years. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And ask for a free catalog. And if you get it and then you return it to us, we'll be sure that you get the products that you need. And there's all sorts of products there besides food. So again, the number to call, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and pray that you never need the products, but better to have them and not need them. Then. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here for the wrap-up to our program, and let me once again mention the Berkey Light. And, of course, the Berkey Light is a special water filter. It's brand new. It's transparent. It will filter the same amount as the ordinary Berkey filters, but, of course, instead of being stainless steel, this one is transparent, so you can actually see inside. Instead of having the ceramic filters, it has the black Berkey filters. It has two of them. They actually filter more. They actually remove things are so much better than any other filter that's available, but they only will last for about, 4,000 gallons of water. At the end of a couple of years, they have to be replaced. So you'd have to decide which one of the filters you want. We're going to get a Black Berkey just to have on hand, because, of course, it can actually filters down to non-detectable levels as far as bacteria and many of the chemicals that are out there that might be bothersome in the water supply. So if you'd like to know more about the Berkey Light, and it's $199 by itself, and of course plus $10 of shipping, and we'll be glad to give anybody who buys it to us either a free video or a free 4-tape set that we have produced, and we have a list of them there when you call in. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Now, there is an additional bottom that has lights in it, and it would last you all evening. In fact, there's going to be a battery pack, so you would have a light for a couple of weeks or nearly. That's an extra $60. Ordinarily, the Berkey is $199. The Berkey Light, if we're talking about the Berkey Light with LED lights, is $259. So if you're interested, give us a call. And these are available in all 49 states. The only state they're not available in is Iowa. And then this is the time we need to remind you that our ministry is primarily supported by people out there who believe there's a problem and really want to help us, and we have a number of faithful supporters across America. We're indebted to them. Of course, as we expand our listener base, why we can expand our coverage out across America, trying to get people the news behind the news, the story behind the story, the information they're not going to get through the controlled media. And so if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our four best tapes. You'll get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, of course, you'll be helping us as we actually increase our coverage across America. Right now, we have 35 stations on the weekend that hear our programs. We have another of stations all across America during the week that will hear us on a daily basis. So then, of course, we have our website, radioliberty.com, and you can go there. You can listen live 5 hours a day, not get anything accomplished, but you can listen 5 hours a day either to Radio Liberty, that our programs are archived, to the American Freedom Network, or, of course, to the Genesis Network, and you'll be able to hear our programs on their internet. You'll, of course, be able to hear those programs live. So if you'd like to get our information off of our website, it's radioliberty.com. And please tell your friends about our programs. Tell your friends about our website. And, of course, there's information up there on the Big Berkey and many of the other products, how to get Mylar bags and how to get iodine and all the other things you might need. But, of course, we ask you at this time to contemplate what is about to happen. America is going to war. People have forgotten war is not something that's a casual undertaking. War is the worst and most horrible thing in the world that can happen to any society, and we're no longer protected by oceans. And those people are so anxious to go to war. I wonder if they're not concerned about the destruction of the cities in Iraq. How would they feel about the destruction of Israel? How would they feel about the destruction of our cities by terrorist attacks? And so we ask you to pray for America. Pray for the boys going into battle. We ask you to pray certainly for our leaders and our ministers. Please remember to pray for my ministry of Radio Liberty, for our provisions and our protection. looks like we're going to have a storm. What do we want to have? Well, we knew there was going to be a storm tonight. Apparently, pretty clear. Probably there was a weekend. At least that's what they say. So often, why the weather doesn't work out the way they want it to, though.
Yeah. I read in the paper that Iraq. Considered a dictatorship. The people there are going out and buying weapons because they know there's a war coming.
Sure.
From computers or whatever.
Sure.
But here we call ourselves a street country and we have to have permits to get anything.
Right. Yeah, but something's wrong with it.
Yeah. There's something wrong with that picture, huh?
I found